Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth that your word is like a bottle of grace, and it's as if every day your question to us is, how much do we want? Lord, move upon our hearts and our minds to grow in understanding of the great blessing, the great joy, the great benefits of simply spending time one-on-one with you in your word every day. As you speak words of blessing, words of life, words of grace, words of joy, words of mercy, to bless us and to equip us to be the servants and the vessels you've called us to be. Lord, stir us to understand, Lord, that we're on the winning side, the side that is already won. You called us, yes, we are kings. Yes, we are leaders in the kingdom of God, and we've already won. Thank you for your word and the power of your word that flows into our lives as we read and study it more and more with every passing day. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your commandments. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how clear they are and for how you guide us in growing more in holiness. Heavenly Father, I know that all of the Ten Commandments point towards loving you and loving our neighbors. And so, Heavenly Father, just pray that we would orient ourselves and dedicate ourselves and set our minds to loving more as you teach us to. Heavenly Father, it's not good if man goes and does everything right in his own eyes. So let us learn what is right in your eyes, Heavenly Father, and let us try to walk in that. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that empowers us, and thank you so much for inviting us into your fold. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. A reminder once again, this is National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child, now through November 24th. And we're encouraging our listeners to get involved with the wonderful outreach of sending the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and God's love. Isaac, would you share with our listeners a little bit more about this project?
Absolutely. So this is an amazing outreach project where Operation Christmas Child is able to work with local churches and local areas and hard-to-reach areas and unreached people groups, and they're spreading the gospel. They're using these shoe boxes as a method of giving toys and practical items to children in those areas as a Christmas present while spreading the gospel. And it's just such a beautiful thing. They have a lot of practical instructions of what you can pack in the box, where you can find places to drop the boxes off, at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Once again, that is SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And they are hoping to reach 12.6 million children with the gospel.
Amen. Amen. And again, for those that aren't familiar with it, if you're just wondering, well, what in the world is Operation Christmas Child? Again, Samaritan's Purse, this is their project. It's called Operation Christmas Child, and they collect shoebox gifts filled with fun toys, school supplies, and personal care items, and they deliver them to children in need around the world to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way. And it's through this means that they also are able to share the gospel with these children. And for many of these children, the gift-filled shoeboxes may be the first gift they've ever received. So it's a great project to get involved with. We would encourage every single listener prayerfully consider getting involved with it. Again, once again, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more or to find out a local drop-off location near you. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we often do. I want to take time to share a discipleship article. And again, we always encourage you, please email us to get a copy. The title of this article is No Right Way to Do Wrong. Again, there's no right way to do wrong. Romans 13, verse 10 tells us love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Again, Romans 13, 10. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. And then Luke 6, 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. In 1973, the Supreme Court made a decision that basically legalized the murder of a baby in his or her mother's womb. We call that decision Roe v. Wade. Tragically, for about 50 years, that ruling was considered the law of the land. And that law of the land basically indicated that if a mother wanted to end the life of her own child in her womb, she could do so legally. Thankfully, about 3 years ago, that tragic decision was overturned by the Supreme Court with its Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization ruling. That decision put abortion into the state's hands. But consider this. Even though Roe v. Wade was overturned, a very simple yet profound truth never changed throughout this time over the last 50 years. Abortion, which is simply another word for first-degree murder, always has been and always will be wrong. Safe abortions, humane abortions, carefully conducted abortions, whatever all these hollow terms are supposed to mean, they all ended tragically with the same result. An innocent baby was deliberately killed. The baby feels or doesn't feel pain at this many weeks would be a statement that sometimes you might hear. Well, okay, but so what? There's no right way to do wrong. There's no acceptable way to purposely kill an innocent baby. God has told us a long time ago, you shall not murder, see Exodus 20:13. He doesn't change, and neither does his word. Tragically, we see how many people in our culture have tried to take the word, quote-unquote, murder, and rebrand it, rename it, and give it a facelift of sorts. Instead of calling this form of murder abortion, people in our culture have called it reproductive health care, a woman's right to choose, a human right, and the list goes on. These terms are used to deceive, mislead, and coerce people into getting abortions. There's a great need in the church to address this matter head on with clear, loving, and practical truth that people can understand directly and boldly. God in his love, grace, and mercy told us, you shall not murder. Again, Exodus 20:13. That message needs to be boldly, clearly, and lovingly stated and shared so that the people of God are not unsure or wavering about this matter. It's wrong to murder. It's wrong to take innocent life. And no matter how you dress that argument or those circumstances up, God's word remains unchanged. People ask, well, aren't there exceptions? What about the case of rape? What about in the case of incest? What about a case where the life of the mother is on the line? Again, God's word doesn't change. Now, abortion is not an unforgivable sin. God's word is clear in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If an individual confesses their sin, repents of it, and asks Christ to forgive them, if they've gone down the road of abortion, he will. The church very simply needs to take a bold but loving stand to say it's wrong to murder innocent children, period. May we each be committed to taking this stand wherever God has planted us or called us to in this world and say, it's wrong to murder babies. There's no right way to do wrong. Aborting babies is very, very wrong. Again, the title of that article, There's No Right Way to Do Wrong. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. It's our privilege and pleasure to introduce Bishop Dwight Pate. We've actually had the privilege of having he and his wife on some time ago, but we're grateful to have him back again. Bishop Dwight Pate is the founder and senior pastor of Church Point Ministries in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Bishop Pate, how are you this morning?
I am doing well, man of God. It's just wonderful to hear your voice, to reconnect. You know, my wife and I can't wait till we can see one another face to face. And it's just been a blessing. Hearing is no right way to do wrong.
Yes, sir. Well, we're honored to have you back on once again. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment, Bishop Pate, to further introduce yourself to our listeners. Some may recall, but many may not when you were on with us before. But if you'll take time to further introduce yourself to our listeners, please do.
Well, I'm Bishop Dwight Pate, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I've been in ministry full-time for 46 years. My ministry is known through a prayer, intercession, and evangelistic ministry in the streets, and also dealing with the abortion issue. I just came from 2 years. I have a building where I started my ministry, a used car lot building, where I used to put 50 chairs out and preach to these empty chairs till God filled it up with people and everything, and the church was born. Church Point Ministry means pointing people back to the local church. That's symbolic of. But I just come back from the little prayer house ministry after all these years. I go back from time to time, and I had 4 shut-ins, and I went in the prayer house because my heart was broken in 2023 of hearing all of the killings in the streets. Every time you turn the news on, just young people killing one another in the streets of Baton Rouge. But it'd be such a small city. You know, we was in the top 10 of murder capitals in America. And the Lord told me to go back and pray. So on May the 8th, 2023, I didn't know how long I was going to be in there praying, but I went in the prayer house to believe God that the body of Christ would come together here in Baton Rouge to pray fear and murder off of the streets. And I didn't know that I would be there for 2 years. I just came out of the prayer house May the 8th, 2025. I did not go home to be with my wife. She would come by and bring food or something to the president or whatever type of ministry. I did not preach at my church for 2 years. But God is working a miracle in town. Also, last time I was with you, I was sharing with you that God gave me a ministry of praying over olive oil, passing it out for people to go pray for themselves, and that the theme of what we were doing and still doing is the pulpit must decrease and God and the people must increase, that the day of the so-called big time...
Bishop Pate, I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Bishop Dwight Pate, the founder and senior pastor of Church Point Ministries, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'll be right back.
If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions, love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to wear.
Music of Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Dwight Pate. He's the founder and senior pastor of Church Point Ministries in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Bishop Pate, before you pick up where you left off, would you take time to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all that the Spirit of God wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes. Father, we come to you and we ask you to touch the ears of every listener and open it up for them to hear clearly, to give them revelation of the heart, to take them to a high level in you. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us insight to know you are a spirit. And we that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. Let thy spirit rise in us today, that we will get a clear word through this broadcast today, that we can be a blessing to others when we share the testimony of who you are. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, Bishop Pate, you shared that you spent 2 years in a prayer, an extended time of praying at the basically the prayer house that was a part of your ministry then. And then you said you also were involved with giving out anointing oil as well. Is that right?
That's right. I was summoned by the Spirit to pass out 200,000 bottles of prayer oil in Baton Rouge alone to stir up the intercessors in the city to start praying about this murder and violence situation in our city.
Mm. And so you were, and you give the oil away then, is that correct?
Yes. And I people say, what to do with it? I say, the Spirit will speak to you what to do with it, because the Lord told me, just pray over the oil, pass it out, and he will speak to the people to how to pray. And I'm telling you, next thing you know, you had grandmothers bringing their addicts and pushers, children and stuff, getting delivered at the prayer house. And about before it was over, over 30 ministries got involved. Mm-hmm. Amen. And knocking on at least 15 to 20,000 houses, sharing the gospel. And I'm talking about in the roughest area of town, in the roughest area of town. And when I first went in the prayer house, you had people hanging out everywhere, you know, because it had been abandoned down there for some time now. But guns going off all the time and everything. And the Lord took the violence out of the community. Mm-hmm. A minister came over that usually have a meeting once a year in a small town called Plaquemine. He came there, and the power of God had us in prayer, interceding for 4 hours, and I didn't even ask him about coming working with me or whatever. So he called back and said, Brother Pate, the Lord told me to bring my festival from out in a small little rural area to Baton Rouge, to the ghetto, and work with you to reach inner city Baton Rouge. And man of God, it became such a blessing that we had two meetings in the inner city where over 8,600 people was in attendance, and over 1,200 people at the meetings gave their life to the Lord. Not telling the people that was getting saved every day, because we had crews out in the streets every day, knocking on doors. Amen. For the whole season of about a year or more that I was in the crowds. So it's been unbelievable. The mayor got involved, and I'd love to share more about that too in the broadcast. The scripture says for us to beg us, therefore, by the mercies of God, that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's time for the body of Christ to sacrifice by giving up some of these. This Bible says every weight, not just sin, but the weights, all these things we got so busy involved in, and move them out of our lives and come into a place of prayer, seeking the face of God, to find out what is God saying about these situations. I believe that's a secret in every city that God wants to reveal to his people through intercession, to unlock a move of God in every city.
I'm going to ask, Bishop, would you pray for believers to seek God's heart to do just that in their own communities, in their own cities? Because, again, as you just said, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to all of his children actually every day, and we would have ears to hear and be wide open to doing what he's calling us to do. Would you pray for every listener in that regard?
Yes. Thank you. Father, we come, and I'm reminded in the scripture, when thy son had a multitude of people following him, and in the midst of all this excitement, he turned and he said, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. And then he said that if you will follow me, your love should be so intense that it seems like you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, that you should love me with your heart, whole heart, soul, and mind. Lord, let this type of spirit grab a hold to us again, like when we first believed. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're pulling us right now today by your spirit. Like the song that said, take me back to when I first believed. Let this love for you. And Lord, let not this evil that has come upon us in this last day rob us of our love for you and the love of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Now, Bishop, also, too, you mentioned about the Lord called you to give out vials of oil, and you've given it all away. And, you know, of course, you've not sold a single one, that you give them away.
No.
How have you been able to give it away in view of the huge response you've had? How do you manage to just give it away?
The Lord has people around the nation, when they get testimonies and everything, they just freely give. They really freely give. You know, I have learned this over the years, because when the Lord first assigned me to this, you got to realize that people thought I had lost my mind, because, you know, we was operating so many things going on. And the Lord showed me the ministry of my past. I saw the location, and in a dream one night, it was like a fiery tornado came down and burned down the complex. And out of the ashes was nothing left but a vial of this oil. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, now I want you to pass out this oil. And he said he would turn the world upside down. And ever since then, we've been getting testimonies all from all over the world. People that never saw me don't even know the testimony, you know. And on the 40-day week, 30 years ago, when I was locked up in the prayer house, he gave me first 10 principles of grace. Mm-hmm. And I love when you was reading from the Old Testament today. Grace, I'm going to just give you a couple of them. Grace agreement number one. God is the only one in whom I'm supposed to give my heart. Grace agreement number two. I will never bow down to a world system. Grace agreement number three. I will operate in the power of Jesus' name. Grace agreement number four. My work shall be productive, and I shall enjoy days of refreshing with my family and my friends. Now, this 10 principles of grace is, he said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. So on the 40th day week, and I was in my first shed-in, mm-hmm. he said to me, if I pray over Olivar, put the number, amen, of the radio station on it where people could call in. And he said that he will speak to the people and mm-hmm. give them testimonies, and the people will support passing the oil out around the world. So mm-hmm. I've just been doing what he told me to do, and he's been doing what he said he'll do.
Well, so if someone who's listening would like to get some of the olive oil, the packets of oil, how would they do that?
All they have to do is call 1-800-266-5111.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
800-266-5111. 800-266-5111. Or they can go to BishopDwightPate.com.
Okay.
BishopDwightPate.com. And we package it, mail it out all over the United States. If you want somebody to receive it, amen, they don't have to call in for it. We just get your address that you turn in, and we send it out to people. We have passed out over 19 million vials of oil since God spoke this revelation to me.
Mm-hmm. That is great. That is great. Well, would you pray for listeners to understand why taking a tool and an instrument like that and putting it to work in their lives can bless them and cause the Spirit of God to work in their lives in a greater way? Would you pray that believers will better understand and pursue this,
yes.
go after it?
All right. Father, we thank you for your sovereign grace. You told me, Father, if I pray over this olive oil, that you would turn the world upside down. And you showed me that your sovereign grace will show up to the individuals, because sovereign grace goes beyond faith. And Lord, I thank you that you showed me in the scriptures it was your sovereign grace in the rod of Moses that opened up the Red Sea. It was your sovereign grace that caused their clothes not to wear out. A cloud of fire by night, cool air by day. Your sovereign grace caused the manna and the quail and the water out of a rock and shoes that never wore out. I thank you for your word in Hebrews. You say they had no faith, but that your sovereign grace took care of them, Father. It was your sovereign grace in the shout of Joshua that caused the walls to go straight into the earth. It was not their faith. They just shouted and did what you said, that every time you moved on the earth for the last 2,000 years since the resurrection of your son, that every time it was a great move of God, it was not a man, it was not a woman or a person, but it was your sovereign grace, that you have a way of tucking yourself in time and at the appointed time, that, Lord, you come into our lives in such special signs and wonders and miracles that is beyond our imagination. This is when you release your imagination in troubled times. It was your sovereign grace in the spit of thy son that made clay and put it on a blind man's eyes and told him to go wash his face. You didn't tell him to go be healed. He washed his face and he became two brand new eyes. It was your sovereign grace in the cloths of Paul, where he took cloths and aprons from his body, and even the demon possessed was set free. It was not the cloth, but it was your spirit that touched the people, Lord, through the cloth. Now, Lord, let this deep, simple revelation the same thing you told Abraham, to go and sacrifice his son. And at the end of the testimony, you're the God that will provide the ram for the sacrifice. You're the God that do it yourself. Lord, do and release your imagination through the people today. You're the God that made everything. You're the God of all creation. You're the God that's the first, the last. When there was nothing, Lord God, you were everything. Lord God, let us come out of the box of religion, in the box of intellectual authority and power of man. But let us come to a place where thy son, the Apostle Paul, said, I come not with excellence of speech, declaring unto you the testimony, that it was not good preaching, but it was a power that flows through the kingdom. Lord, let your power be revealed in that words to the people when they receive the holy anointed oil. That is you, the God that does it himself. Bless every hearer. Bless everyone that will receive your sovereign power, because your grace goes beyond our faith. In the name of thy Son, Jesus, we pray.
Nicole C. Mullen with On My Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Dwight Pate. He's the founder and senior pastor of Church Point Ministries in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a pastor and an anointed intercessor for the kingdom of God as well. Bishop Pate, once again, if someone listening would like to get some of the anointing oil that you shared, tell them how they can do that. And if you have persons that simply want to connect with you or connect with your church family, would you tell them how to do that?
Yes. Call 800-266-5111. 800-266-5111. Or go to Bishop Dwight Pate at dwightpate.com.
All righty.
DwightPate.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And if they can reach you directly as well, if they need to, through that one of those means as well.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Okay, then. All right. Well, Bishop Pate, again, really appreciate learning more about the work God has called you to. And, you know, one of the things I want to say, I really appreciate just you sharing your heart about the fact that, very simply, God is called, and he's always calling his church to pray. You know, the Word of God tells us pray without ceasing. And also, the fact is he calls the church the house, it's to be the house of prayer. And one of the clear bits of just eternal wisdom is that prayer is to be a critical part of any and everything in the kingdom of God. We're called to live a life and a lifestyle of prayer. And so thank you again just for what you shared, and look forward to, Lord willing, having you back on to share more about your journey in prayer as a pastor and a spiritual leader as well. One of the things I would mention that on a pretty regular basis, we address the life issue quite often here on the broadcast. Part of the reason behind that is that's an area of ministry the Lord has called my wife Bertie and I to be involved in significantly as well. And the goal for every believer is we're to seek God's heart. It's not for any one person to tell anyone else what to do. It's for each person to listen to God for themselves and to seek His heart. And the fact is, these are God's babies that are being destroyed. And sadly, even though it's not necessarily a major news story in the news quite a bit these days, our goal should be to want to know God's heart and to do what God is calling us to do. So would you share your thoughts and perspective on that?
These 2 years, amen, in the prayer house, there are three things, amen, in a deeper way that God revealed to me. I've been involved for many, many years in the abortion issue myself. And I don't know if you remember when Heartbeat was really going across the South and everything, Bethany World Prayer Center. They called me one night years ago and said, Brother Pate, you're reaching people in the inner city community and everything, and the abortion rate is so high per capita there, you need to get involved. And that's very night. God gave me a message entitled, The Most Dangerous Place in Black America, The Mother's Womb. And then after that, he gave me another message, five-minute message. What would Martin Luther say, King? That he died for the freedom of black senators and legislators in America, and that the black senators and legislators were voting to murder the babies. Mm-hmm. I started preaching and had to play those tapes back. The legislator back in the early 90s called me down to the state capitol, mm-hmm, and asked me what to do. And I preached to him. The entire black caucus voted against aborting the babies. And I don't know if you remember, but in the early 90s, the law went all the way to the Supreme Court and got knocked down at the Supreme, mm-hmm, Court level. That, mm-hmm, was from out of prayer and a two-five-minute message. But this time, he spoke something even deeper to me locked up in the prayer house. These three things. Number one, the destruction of what's going on is totally spiritual. Totally spiritual. So we don't fight spiritual battles with carnal things. The Lord said, especially I'm called to reach inner city America mainly. Because, you know, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was an apostle to the Jews. God had called me to reach my people across America in the inner city. And this is what he told me. That one of the crimes of what's going on with the abortion issue right now, too, is an unrepentant wound. In other words, those that repented of abortion, but when they stand on the side of the abortionists, a curse comes back on their wounds of every child that's ever born out of that woman, from that man and that woman. Because how can you repent of murder and then the next day you're back with the murderers and causing other women to have abortion? Mm-hmm. We need to repent of the murder of the spiritual part of this thing. The second thing, supporting murderers, that 97% of every black minister in America politically support the murder of their own babies. Mm-hmm. I don't know the statistics change, but 47% of black Americans being aborted in the womb, with 97% of the black pastors endorsing the murder of our own race. Mm-hmm. And number three, dealing with the politician, the hypocrisy of politicians. Even if they didn't believe in God at all, they're supposed to believe in liberation of the black vote. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you be there endorsing genocizing the babies when you genocizing votes? Mm-hmm. And that is so much hypocrisy. Anytime, even if you didn't believe in God, how do anybody in their right mind destroy their own votes before they get here?
That's
so
right.
I believe that there must be voices like yourself and programs that's going to have an evangelistic anointing to have the people aware of what's going on. Now, this is my major problem, you know, you're out there on national and worldwide radio. Where are the black evangelists that are Christians preaching, amen, like the Billy Grahams and stuff of yesterday to the inner city community? How could we have this, the most serious problem of murder and genocide in 50 years? 50 years of the abortion and did worse than 400 years of physical and political slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the black evangelists preaching repentance to the black church?
Mm-hmm.
Because if our white brothers did it, because of the history of the white church enslaving us and everything, it's hard to get that message across.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm praying that God will raise up black men and women with an evangelistic voice and ideals that's going to cause a spirit of repentance and the church be healed. And we'll see this thing lifted up off of us of fornication and adultery and the total lust for power.
Bishop Pate, would you pray for the Spirit of God to really begin to do that in a greater way in the community, in our culture as a whole?
Yes. Father, we thank you that you have begun already of cutting the head of the serpents of hypocrisy in every area of our community, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
These spirits of intellectual, political, economic, religious, entertainment is being destroyed even now, Lord. And as a new spirit of liberation coming up, especially in these young men and women, that they want the truth and nothing but the truth. Oh, God, raise up our people to fulfill that which you allowed to happen to even get us here in America. Oh, God, I thank you that I used to hear the old people say in the old country church that the bottom rail will rise up to the top. Oh, God, raise up the spirit of the evangelists in our young men and women. And Lord, strengthen older men and women to be here for wisdom, and let the intellect and the anointing and the zeal of the young, Lord God, that they would not bow to this world system. They would not bow to intellect or religion or money. But Lord, they would only bow to the cross.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the greatest move of God that America has ever seen, because you're bringing your entire body together, and you're moving among a people that's been forgotten and abused. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of liberation and this evangelistic spirit that's destroying murder and death and fear from our people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen,
amen
and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Bishop Pate, again for, again, being with us today and all that you've shared. And really grateful to have your ministry just on and being able to share the vision that God has given to you. One more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you, either to get some of the anointing oil or just simply to connect with you and your ministry, tell them how they can do that.
800. They can call 800-266-5111. 800-266-5111. Or they can go to BishopDwightPate.com. And I just want to say, Pastor Parker, I'm honored for you and your staff and assistant to have me on this morning. And God bless you. And I just speak increase on all that you do. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again for being on with us today, Bishop. And let me say to every listener again, we'd encourage you to prayerfully consider reaching out to Bishop to get some of the anointing oil to use in your life, for your family, or for your ministry, but also prayerfully consider giving financially to help support the great outreach this is as well. And pray much for Church Point Ministries, which is the church fellowship that Bishop Dwight Pate is both the founder and senior pastor of in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Remember, the single most important decision in all of life is the decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and commit, give your life to Christ today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect, to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to get some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier entitled, There's No Right Way to Do Wrong, same email, joseph@afr.net. And of course, if any of the other prayer tools or discipleship tools that we share about on the broadcast, if you're wanting any or all of them, email us again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession, and pray much for the work and mission and ministry of Bishop Dwight Pate and the Church Point Ministries, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.